My name is Katina Braxton. I live in Slidell, Louisiana. I have a social and pleasure club named Ice Divers, and I am the founder of it since 2012.
Awesome. Okay. So, Katina, I want to start by taking it all the way back and ask you, how did you begin Second Life?
As a younger child, going to all the second lines as a young child, grew up in a neighborhood was second line and had family members participating in social and pleasure clubs. And it just carried on, and I, as I got older, I just got into it myself and joining clubs and just decided to start my own after a while.
What neighborhood did you grow up in?
Oh, I grew up in the uptown area in the third wall, which is like around 3rd Street, Ferret Street. Then I went downtown to Carver High School for my high school years. And I went to school down there, participated in a lot of things. And every Sunday had a second line, I just participated until I decided to join second line clubs. And I started performing in second line clubs in 1998.
What was the first club you joined?
Lady Rollers.
Okay.
Lady Rollers. And I paraded with Lady Rollers. Then I stopped for a little while once I got married and all. Then I decided to go back and I started up again. And then I decided to get my own club at that point.
And were you said you had family members involved? Were they in clubs too?
They were in clubs, and they were males. My sister performed Lady Rollers. She was actually the queen of Lady Rollers. And 1999, I believe it was. She was the queen of Lady Rollers. And my uncles and cousins, they was performers of Social and Pleasure Club. I can't remember the name of the males clubs, but it was males clubs that they were members of.
And so do you remember in your early years as a child, or even, you know, in the late 90s when you got involved in clubs as an adult, what do you remember about dancing and how that played a part in your experience?
The excitement. I mean, you felt free. You do what you want to. And it was just like a big old family. You get together, you meet people, you meet your friends out there that you haven't seen before. And Sunday was like a day that you just meet everybody, and everybody just enjoying the day and dancing and, you know, just enjoying it. And that motivated me. Like, every Sunday, you look forward to doing something because it's everybody jumping around, hopping around. You're doing what you want, you're having fun, and it's just like, is whatever.
So tell me a little bit more about your own club, the Ice Divas.
Oh, those ladies are so loyal to me. I picked them one by one to join the club, and they are so well respected and honorable. And I asked each individual, did they want to adjourn? Some was like, are you kidding? You know, nobody never asked me to adjourn. I used to see them at the second lines all the time, enjoying themselves, dancing, and I mean, every Sunday. And I said, I'm going to ask them. I walked up to them and I asked them, I approached them, hey, y'all, you members of the second line club? No. I said, would you like to be? Sure. So I got everybody's phone numbers, you know, and we met, and it went from there. And some of them been with me for the last 3 years, 4 years. One club been with me for the last 5 years. When we was with another club before I started my own club. So from that point, we just grew like a family, and it's just like we just enjoy it.
What is the process like to start your own club?
For enrollment, we do an application fee of $25. We have dues, $50 a month. Around Christmas time, we pick a family from a school and, you know, do adopt a family for Christmas, give them Christmas gifts or what have you. We do fundraisers, raffles. We also going to start feeding the homeless at least once a month. And I gave a drive once to give out clothing to the homeless.
Mm-hmm. And when you decided that you wanted to start your own club, was there any sort of official charter that you had to get from the city or anything like that?
You had to go to City Hall and apply and put your name on the list. Mm-hmm. And you got to wait for your turn to get a date yourself, but you can join another club and parade with them on their date, and that's officially what I did. Mm-hmm. I went and joined signed up at City Hall, and I searched around till I felt a club was fit for me and my club to join their club and parade with them on their date. Mm-hmm. And that was the extent of it until they have actually Sundays available for us to parade on our own date instead of joining with other social and pleasure clubs and parading on their date.
Got it. So you're on a waiting list.
You're on a waiting list for your own date. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did you, this year you came out with Keeping It Real.
Yeah.
Has it always been with them? Or has
the it been last, ones? Since I started my own club, we've been parading with Keeping It Real.
Mm-hmm. And how did you choose them?
I searched around and I talked with different people. I met with them. You know, we met as a club. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't feel comfortable with the other club members, social and pleasure clubs that I met with. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very comfortable when I met with Keeping It Real, and I went to them and sat down and talked to them. I brought all my members, and we felt comfortable with them. And it wasn't just my agreement to say, hey, we're going to go with this club, Keeping It Real. It was everyone's input in. I prefer to have as a whole to agree with something, just one person to agree,
right,
which they all look up to me and respect my honors of what I would say and what I would lay out and say, hey, I think this is the best thing for us. They agree with it, but at the same time, I give them the opportunity to say, hey, this will work for all of us and not just for one person.
Right. And on that note, how, I know every club is kind of different in terms of how they pick their colors and decorations and suits every year. How do you both choose the color scheme and then the decorations? Do you hire someone to make those or do them yourself, or how does all that work?
Actually, we pick our own colors. One year we took and just put some colors in and we drew out, and whatever colors we came out with, that's the colors we use.
Okay.
And the last few years we use this young lady by the name of Winoka. She used to do our fans for us. Mr. Charles used to do the print and screening for us, but God rest his day, he passed away last year sometime. So it really affected all social and pleasure clubs because he was one of the main people that actually done everybody's screenings and prints and t-shirts or whatever they needed, you know, for their fans and all. Mm-hmm. So he was a big access to the social and pleasure club industry completely. Mm-hmm. And with the colors, we picked them ourselves. We designed our own clothing. We may order them from here, there. I get magazines. I may order them. Or I do a lot of research on finding our clothing. And I will go out. We will go out and buy all the decorations when we put on our clothing or whatever the case may be. It's always a group thing. It's never one individual. Always. But this year, we done our own fans. We didn't hire nobody to do it. We done it all ourselves. We didn't hire nobody to do our fans. Nothing. We did it all ourselves. We decorated our own hats. We normally pay somebody to do our hats. Mm-hmm. We cut the cost on a lot because we done it all ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And how did you know how to make a fan?
The way I took one apart is the way I put one together. And I just used a pattern from an old fan. The way I took it apart is the way I put it together. Mm-hmm. And I just went and bought all the materials and the rhinestones or whatever it was that we needed, put it together. Mm-hmm. I can tell you how Ice Divas came about, the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, how the name came about, we all left one club, the club that we used to parade with. Mm-hmm. And everybody was saying, why you don't start your own club? You do it all by yourself anyway. So I said, okay, I'm going to start my own club. So that's when I went to City Hall and done everything, paperwork and stuff. So we all met at a yoga shop. And we said, okay, we're going to come up with a name. We all came up with a name for the club. Everybody came up with a name. We put in a little bag or what have you. Mm-hmm. And we was in the yoga shop. They had a little girl in there with her family. And I asked one of the parents, I said, can she do us a favor? Can she come pull a name out of a hat for us? And I explained to them, we just started our own social and pleasure club, and we want to pull a name, but we want somebody else to pull it. And she pulled the name Ice Divas. So that's how the name became Ice Divas.
Uh-huh.
That's how we became Ice Divas. That was our name from that point. And everybody enjoyed it, and we just went on with that name. So that was the beginning of Ice Divas Social and Pleasure Club.
Wow. And whose contribution was that, the Ice Divas?
The Ice Divas, yes.
And that who put that slip in the hat?
Oh, that was my name, actually.
I thought so.
Actually, Ice Divas came about because my nickname is Black Ice.
Uh-huh.
I ride motorcycles.
Okay.
So I'm called Black Ice. Mm-hmm. My lawn service is Ice Lawn Service. And it just so happens that the club became Ice Divas.
That seems fitting.
Yeah. And not only that, keeping it real, president, which is Perry, his name is Iceberg. So it all fit together.
That's funny. It must have been divine then.
Yeah.
Divine
then all my then all the ladies became, they all made a name with ice in it.
Uh-huh.
Snow Ice, Vanilla Ice. Mm-hmm. Cherry Ice. It just was like everything was ice.
Yeah.
So
that's funny.
That's how we came about.
And how many members do you have now?
One, two, three, five original members. Uh-huh. So we got six, and you included make seven.
Uh-huh. Seven. Cool. And one of the things, I guess Lady Roller, I don't really know a whole lot about Lady Rollers. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them for that many years, but it seems like at least now this is true of them and Ice Divas, that you all seem to be a really interracial club, that there's a lot of, you know, people coming from, like, all kinds of backgrounds into the clubs.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think I was the first social and pleasure club, what I can remember, started interracial, mm-hmm, social and pleasure clubs. Mm-hmm. And it started when I was with the Lady Rollers, okay, my very last year with the Lady Rollers, mm-hmm, when I started with interracial, mm-hmm, you know, members. Mm-hmm. And once we left that was the first year and the last year that we paraded with Lady Rollers, mm-hmm, and they all left and came with me. Mm-hmm. And we started my club, mm-hmm, and everybody loved it. I mean, people is people. You don't look at people as color, what have you. Mm-hmm. People is people. We're all human. Mm-hmm. Everybody can enjoy whatever culture they want to, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no picks and no chooses. I see fit that you can provide for our club, and I see you love it. I'm approaching and ask you. All you can do is say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the uniqueness of it.
Mm-hmm. And I know, I heard you say that, and just from my own experience, uh-huh, it seems like people that you'll approach, you mentioned that when you see them dancing. And
when I see them dancing, having a real good time, I'm like, I can use her.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'm going to ask her. Even when we paraded that day, I had so many people come approach me and ask me, hey, can I join your club? Sure, sure, sure. So, mm-hmm, I got a lot of people always coming to me, especially, mm-hmm, on parade day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to join your club? And for like Jazz Fest, we performed at Jazz Fest, so we're keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
And you always get a lot of people, mm-hmm, but you got to stay with them and keep them interested in doing things throughout the year,
right,
and not just participate in that day you parade, but you got to get back to the community at some point and somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our focus is really is. It's not about just parading that day, it's about giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And getting youths involved, to give them something to do, because, you know, there's so much going on that kids don't have a lot to do, and it'll keep them going and stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to have more of a young teenagers and young adults and young girls to actually become members of Ice Divas Club. Also, mm-hmm. I done had some men come to me and ask me, will I get a men's group? Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, but I need to get my ladies together first mm-hmm. and establish that. So maybe in another year or two, yeah. I might go ahead on and get men involved. But I want to pull more younger girls and young adults into it to give them something to do mm-hmm. besides just hanging out.
Yeah.
And, you know, get them involved in the community. We can do recreational stuff, play sports. I mean, when we grew up, we had everything there was. You was at the park, you play sports all year round. Baseball, basketball, softball, volleyball, run track. I mean, we did it all. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of youths missing right now. You don't see them do no activities.
Yeah.
And there's so much the phones and games inside. Oh, we was growing up. You was outside 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's our goal, to reach more kids and get them involved in something. If it's not second lining, it's something.
Mm-hmm. And what about your daughters? Were they ever into second lining?
I had two of my daughters. They actually paraded with me 1 year. Mm-hmm. They enjoyed it. They loved it, but they said they couldn't afford it. I paid for it all for them with their budgets and stuff mm-hmm. 1 year, but I thought they was going to pick up and say, I'll keep going, but they said it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. The older two, they have a baby now, so they got more responsibilities right now. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, but they come out and participate mm-hmm. in support completely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they love it. And also on Sundays for fundraisers, I sell yak and meat and gumbo on Sundays to make a fundraiser for the club also.
Uh-huh.
Whoever helped put in, that's money that we save
mm-hmm.
that we don't have to come out or put in towards our budgets.
Right.
When it's almost parade time, it cuts down on the band, the permit, the budget, and all that stuff.
Right. Where do you sell it?
At the Second Lines. Oh, okay. Every stop. Every stop.
Every Sunday? Are you doing that?
Every Sunday.
How come I haven't seen you?
I don't know.
How come I haven't seen you?
But every Sunday, I'm gumbo and yaki meat.
Are you in a food truck or what?
I set up at every stop, the table and everything.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and you make it all?
Uh huh.
Wow.
Yeah, and I make it all. It's a process of preparing it, but.
Like it. Yeah. Well, it must be worth it if you keep doing it.
It's worth it, yeah. And it helps out the club.
Mm-hmm.
So. It provides for the club, so that's what basically it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to actually, you're raising money for the club, and you don't have to spend your own money.
Mm-hmm. Well. Mm-hmm. Cool. It seems like, you know, from what I've heard and read, that the benevolent societies, a long time ago, you know, were established to take care of each other when they were sick or needed to pay for the funerals. And that, bless you, a lot of clubs today, kind of that function of taking care of each other, one of the ways it continues is through the activities like you described, like adopting a family
mm-hmm.
and feeding the homeless and having youth programs, like mm-hmm. those kinds of community-based programs.
Right. Also, I got offered from my club to do... like a repass, somebody passes,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, they have to let repass afters perform at a repass.
Mm-hmm.
When someone gets married, you go perform.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes for weddings,
mm-hmm.
and when people have just left functions, and, you know, they hire a band. Like, one of the ladies in my club, she has a youth program called Mother's Helpers.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually on Morrison and Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And she had an organization that she had some type of function, and we performed and closed it out at mm-hmm. the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very educational from all the speakers and stuff. It mm-hmm. was very great.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, let's see. So when you're going to Second Lines, mostly through the year, you're going to sell food. So your process of going is very different than going and dancing.
Oh, no.
Right?
It's some days. I'm out there almost every Sunday. But the days I choose not to sell food, I'm out second line. Uh-huh. I follow the second line from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like an addiction at some point. When you out there, you hear the beat. Yeah, I can go to any instrument, tuba, drum, trumpet, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can dance to any beat. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you hear it, it's just that you just got to go with it. Mm-hmm. It's just something that you just become a whole new person when you're out. Mm-hmm. Performing and dancing and you hear the music, it's like just you being you. You step out of your body into another body and you just enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Is there, when you're out dancing, is there a particular part of the second line that you like to be on? Like, some people like to be right behind the band, some people like to be over on the sidewalk, some people like to be right along the ropes.
I'll be along the ropes, I'll be behind the band, I'll be in front of the band. Mm-hmm. I mean, it moves so quickly, so your feet moving. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can start in the beginning, but you'll be at the end. Uh-huh. Or sometimes you'll be in the middle and you'll wind up in the beginning and the end. I mean, you just got to move with the crowd. Mm-hmm. And it's enjoyable because you're moving so fast, your feet moving, you're dancing, and it's like you're just going, going, going. Mm-hmm. You don't realize you done walked 4 hours, really jumping around and dancing. You really don't realize that you done actually went 4 hours mm-hmm. of just enjoyment in dancing. Mm-hmm. Then they got people taking pictures of you, show your feet work. They just cheer you on and egg you on. It's exciting.
Now, you grew up uptown as a kid, but then went to high school downtown. So do you feel like you have footwork that's more characteristic of uptown or downtown, or do you mix them up?
I have both. Mm-hmm. And also, I dance a lot, so I mix it all together. And it's really no way to second line. I mean, you just do what you do, and you, however you do it, you do it. There's really no way to second line.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any, like, personal style or signature moves?
All the time. Oh, yes. Everybody got their own little uniqueness of it, you know. Everybody got their own little signature of what they do that just stands out saying, this is me. Uh-huh. And that's what makes you so unique from each and every other person. Mm-hmm.
So what's yours? Can you describe it?
Oh, let me see. How can I describe it? Oh, my gosh. How can I describe it? Second, dancing forward, back, spin around, down and up again.
Forward, back, spin around, down and up again.
Right.
Yeah. And then when people talk about downtown and uptown footwork, what do you see as the difference between those?
It's no difference in footwork, actually. Everybody dance differently. Mm-hmm. And you go to the beat, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go to any beat of the instrument that's playing. Mm-hmm. Drum, tuba, you know, the whatever. They got even the ones that come along in the second line with the little bottles and the sticks. So, I mean, you can do footwork to any one of these sounds, mm-hmm. and it's just unique the way you do it, mm-hmm. how you make your moves to go to that actual rhythm of the beat. Mm-hmm. It's great, though. I tell you one thing, at the end of the day, your feet be hurting. Your feet be hurting, you be tired as I don't know what.
Yeah. What are some of the ways, like, after 4 hours of second lining, you kind of describe that feeling of, while you're in it, sometimes you don't really register how hot it is or hard it is, uh-huh. or how much your feet hurt, because you're just kind of, like you said, in another body.
Right.
But then, okay, it's over. You're walking back to your car. What does it feel like?
Oh, I can't believe it. Your feet hurt. You're like, damn, I walked that far? Mm-hmm. But sometimes where you start at is where you end at. Because the second line starts in the spot and sometimes ends in the spot. Now, if the second line don't end where it starts at, you got to get a ride back to your car, or one of your friends, they take their car and go from stop to stop to stop, and then that person may give you a ride back to your car. I see somebody, hey, come bring me back to my car. Mm-hmm. Something. You know, you be so tired, but mm-hmm. I mean, after the day is all said and done, you done what you came out there for, to enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. And everybody, all you hear is a lot. Let me see some footwork. Let me see the footwork. So, you know. That, and when you hear them words, that just make you act a fool more so. You want to jump around and act a fool and show your little moves and put your spin on it, you know. So, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. How do you keep your energy up?
Oh, my God. Drink water. Some people have a drink to keep them motivated. Some people just naturally. I mean, naturally. You don't really need nothing. Just keep yourself hydrated and just go. Oh, let me get something to eat. Let me get some chips or something to put a little salt back in my body from sweating or whatever. But other than that, it's basically naturally. And, you know, some people enjoy it. They drink and get in the mood. And some people are just natural. I love it.
Do you feel like you dance harder when you're inside the ropes, when it's your parade day?
Yes, indeed, Lord, because it's all about you. It's all about you. It's your day, and you done worked all hard that whole year with your fundraisers and the support for others. So you looking for, you want everybody to come out and support you and see you on that day. So it's exciting, and like, you're out there and you're parading and you see everybody, hey, everybody hollering, speaking, and you know, then there's some come to the ropes and want to tell you about your feet. Let me see them feet work. Don't stop. Do this, do that. Mm-hmm. So it's very exciting.
And do you have to do anything special on parade day to like just make it, physically make it to the end?
No, because you hyped already. I'm telling you, that night before, you hype, you ready to get, you get up early. We do our little breakfast thing in the morning, do our little prayer, and we get together, and we just stall from that point. Everything is in a hype mode. So, I mean, it's a process of getting ready and starting, and on your day, it's like, we got to do this, and we about to do it. 4 hours, that's all we need. Man, come on, kick it up, roll it up. When that boom, 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 boom. It's all over to the end. All the way to the end is enjoyment.
Do you have a favorite band?
I like One Mind Band. And 21st Century. They both have played for me. 21st Century, One Mind Band. And also How They Played for Me 1 year. That's when I was with Lady Rollers. But me as Ice Divas, 21st Century, and One Mind Band played for me. And I enjoy both of them.
And what do you like about them?
Their boys are young, and they love to play. And some of them, they will challenge another band, and I mean, they're young, so they have a lot of energy, so they always want to outdo the next person. And when you have that energy like that, they're going to always keep you jumping and moving and going on your day. Even if you are just a parade goer to go out, they have the crowd constantly jumping and moving. I love it. But they got also some other bands that's pretty good that I like. But you can't pick them all to play for you on that day, you know. So you got to have one. You got to pick somebody. But, I mean, it's a bunch of them out there that if I can have them all play for me on that day, I will have them play for me on that day.
Do you have any favorite songs that when you hear that song, you're like, oh, and that your dance just goes to a new level?
Casanova. Do What You Wanna. Take It to the Streets. And that Michael Jackson song.
Oh, what is that one? I've been hearing it lately and I can't remember which one it is.
I wanna say I'm going to think about it later.
Yeah.
I'm gonna think about it later.
It'll
yeah.
hit you at 3 a.m. or something. So I know that some people admit that before the parade day they get together and like practice their footwork a little bit. Have you ever done that?
Actually, no. When I first got with the interracial girls, mm-hmm. we had a practice once, mm-hmm. and that was it. Mm-hmm. But also, when I was with the Lady Rollers, they had these other, I don't think they're social and pleasure clubs, but they're, there was some other women organizations.
That's right. I remember, like, the Pussy Footers.
The Pussy Footers mm-hmm. and all of them. I actually had a session with them to teach them how to second line. I had a session with them to
before
teach
this year's
them.
Parade?
It was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I actually had a session with some of them to teach them how to second line.
And so what did you teach them?
I mean, I just showed them the basics of footwork. Mm-hmm. And jump, you know, how you jump around and heel toe or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. And I explained to them, really, second line, you really can't teach a person. You got to go with the music and it's just what you do. Mm-hmm. And they just got into the rhythm and they observed me and watched me. And it just went from that point. Mm-hmm. And we done it for probably about 2 hours, a little practicing or whatever. Mm-hmm. You played all the little second line music, and you know everybody enjoyed it. We laughed and joked about it, and it was very nice.
Where'd you go do it?
We was at this warehouse. We went to a warehouse somewhere downtown mm-hmm. in the I want to say in the 7th Ward, somewhere off of Galvis, I believe it was. Mm. It was a little warehouse we went to, mm-hmm. and we practiced up in there.
Yeah. And was that, I guess both times the practice, was that at the request of the new people coming in?
That was the request of the Pussy Footers and, I can't remember all these other little clubs, organizations that they had. Uh-huh. And that was the first year, actually, when I paraded with the Lady Rollers that these other organizations actually paraded mm-hmm. with a social and pleasure club. Mm-hmm. And from that point, I think they've done it the last 2 or 3 years, parade with Lady Rollers mm-hmm. behind them. Mm-hmm. But.
And do you know how that, well, I guess you were in the club. How did that come about, that decision to include those other clubs?
It was actually the owner's, Linda Green's idea, mm-hmm. but also I was a president, so she let me make, I made lots of the decisions mm-hmm. and dealt with the people hands on. She just was the one sitting in the back, you know, let my president do it all. Mm-hmm. So I kind of did, and everybody enjoyed it and loved it and all, but mm-hmm. it was very unique and it was a good experience with all them different people. Mm-hmm. And that changed, that flipped the script for a social and pleasure club second liner, because everybody used to have floats, kings and queens, and people riding on cars. Mm-hmm. But we actually had people on the grounds actually mm-hmm. parading behind us. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful year that year. We had Christmas colors, red, green, and white. Mm-hmm. And they dressed up in like Santa suits. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it was like 2 days before Christmas. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was very nice, and that was the first year we had all them different people mm-hmm. parade, and it was something different. Mm-hmm. So I think that broke the ice for a lot of things at that time.
Yeah, yeah, because that is really taking two, you know, two different traditions and kind of
putting them together. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Also, I can't remember, but this parade called Yamaye Parade.
Yeah.
We parade with them also. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all women's group organization. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And with the Yamaye Parade, what is her name? Anne Marie is her mm-hmm. name. She gets all the little second line clubs and all the other little social and pleasure clubs may not be second line clubs, but they are ladies clubs and all perform on that one day, which is all women. And it turned out to be some beautiful.
Yeah, I bet. I used to be in the Camel Toe Lady Steppers.
Camel Toes, that's another name, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know that they were involved in the Yemaya, and I've actually, for one reason or another, never managed to see it.
Really?
But I would love to.
It's nice. It is. It's very nice.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it when we did it. We've done it 2 years with them. I don't know what happened last year. I didn't get a chance to parade with it. I don't know. I think I just lost contact or what have you. And I used to see it all the second lines, but fortunately I didn't see it to get involved in it. But.
So this, maybe I'll ask these questions first. Okay. So what are the characteristics of a good second liner? When you see somebody and you think like, oh yeah, they're rolling or they're really good or whatever, what are their characteristics?
Always dancing, on the move, talking to people. It's actually the band and the people themselves that's in the club. And actually, you makes the parade, the people that parades that day, because you have a lot of friends, associates, and people just love to come out and see you. And when they see you, they may make you act a fool. I mean, especially your friends you hang out with. If they don't parade with you, they're coming out, and they're going to cheer you on and dance on the side of you. So they're going to make you go, and go. And I think it's very unique when you got someone to come on and support you, and everybody just go.
Do you see any differences between the way that men and women second line?
Yeah and no. Men have a tendency of dancing harder, and you know, they're more stronger and muscular than women, and some of the men are more acrobatic than females, so they have a tendency of performing a little differently than women, but at the end of the day, we all doing the same thing. Footwork, dancing, hopping around, jumping around, or whatever the case may be. So it all still falls up under the same thing. We all out there doing the exact same thing.
Have you, or your, you know, the way your uncles or parents or grandparents even used to talk about second lining, what have been some of the major changes in the tradition over the years?
Age difference. Age difference for sure.
What do you mean by that?
When I was growing up, the social and pleasure clubs was much older people. Now these days is more of a younger generation second lining, and you see more of some clubs that have youths coming up, and I enjoy that and I love that, because they got the little ones coming up behind them and they teaching them and showing them the culture. So it's becoming a big difference as the youth's coming up and getting involved. And I think that's great to pass it on to the youths, and they starting little and grow up, you know, and had a tradition just to grow up and go on, carry on. So for the difference, yes and no.
So there weren't as many kids and teenagers in clubs before?
Back then, no. It was like mainly, from what I can remember, I think it was like more of adults, young adults. I didn't see much of little kids like you see now, second lining on the streets on parade days. You didn't see that back then, as I recall. I don't remember seeing that, but that's the difference now. And I think that's a great thing that the kids coming up and getting involved.
Right. And what about men and women? Were there always equal numbers of men in women's clubs, or are women getting more involved these days?
Well, it always been men or women, so it wasn't never a major difference mm-hmm. between men and women clubs, because it wasn't no such thing as a number. Uh-huh. If you wanted to join, you was able to join, mm-hmm. long as you pay your dues or participate mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Each individual club had their own rules or what have you, mm-hmm. so if you was able to sustain those rules and deal with those members in that club, that's mm-hmm. what it was.
I just read something today, it was in the Gambit.
Okay.
It was this interview with the guy who, Joe, who owns Joe's Cozy Corner.
Uh-huh.
And he, I guess, paraded with the Jolly Bunch for a bunch of years. And he was saying in this interview that women didn't used to march, that they would ride in cars or ride on something, and like that just the men would dance.
Oh, well, maybe that was before my time.
Maybe, yeah.
Or maybe
know.
I was too young to know. Mm-hmm. But as I've known, I don't have a history of that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You gave me something to look up on.
Because what years would it have been when you were, you know, as a child, but going to the parades with your family all the time?
Oh, back in the early, I mean, I got out of high school in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
late 80s,
mm-hmm. early 90s. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was something before then, I don't know nothing about it before
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think he was talking about, like, in the 50s. I don't know.
I don't know, but I know they've always had women and men's, but that I know of. I know, like, Lady Bug Jump has been around a very long time.
It's true, they have.
They've mm-hmm. been around a very long time. Mm-hmm. Lady Roller's been around for quite a long mm-hmm. time also. Mm-hmm. I'm not so familiar with other women clubs that have been around mm-hmm. for so long. But what I was interested in trying to do at one point, and I think in the future I'm going to try to do it, like Young Men Olympics. Mm-hmm. They have like 6-7 divisions mm-hmm. that come out on one day. Mm-hmm. If I can get 6-7 division of women to come out on one day, I think that would be so great.
That would be amazing.
That would be so great. Even if they have their regular parade day, can't just get everybody to come out again. Even if they got to wear their own suits that they wore for their day, just mm-hmm. get mm-hmm. 6-7 clubs together and come out on one day. So that's my goal.
That's awesome. Like a female superstar parade
yes.
or something.
That's my goal.
That would be
that's
amazing.
An intended goal for me.
Would be so cool to see that many women
yes.
coming out the door like that.
And another club that I admire a lot is Versatile Ladies. They're from downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's a downtown group. They are so unique and down to earth, and I really admire their club also.
Mm-hmm.
Versatile Ladies, yeah.
Cool. So, we were talking about, you know, things that have changed over the years in second lining. What has stayed the same?
Say it again.
What has stayed the same?
The routes, mm-hmm. the routine, the music, the people. The people have changed because they're getting older. They got young ones coming out enjoying the parades. They even have older ones come out and enjoy the parades. Mm-hmm. In some parades, you may have honorary members mm-hmm. that still come out and support the organization that they used to parade with. So mm-hmm. that's that.
Does the dancing seem like it's been pretty much the same over the years?
The dancing, it don't change. It's just within that person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said earlier, everybody have their own way of dancing.
Right.
So, I mean, footwork is footwork. If you can jump around and move around and go to the beat, that's your footwork.
Mm-hmm.
It is unique in your own way.
Mm-hmm. Cool. In your opinion, do you think that Katrina had an impact on the second line tradition?
I want to say, yeah. Reason being, I think for Katrina, a lot of people was displaced.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't come back. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that was in the culture that actually was members of social and pleasure clubs just haven't came back. So it's a lot of new faces, new club names, and new goers coming and going. Even people that just moved into the city is getting to learn the culture and starting to enjoy the culture of second lining. So, it made a very well much impact of the change, because a lot of people didn't come back home or couldn't participate because of their financial status or whatever the case may be. And then you had Task Force came along, and they made a major step on what they did, trying to get some clubs back together to fall up on the Task Force. But that was about it with that. Mm-hmm. And, but I think, it made a big impact.
Yeah.
And you have now a lot of new clubs with new names that wasn't clubs before Katrina. Mm-hmm. So, was the impact of it.
Because it seems like despite the number of people who were in the culture that were displaced, mm-hmm. it's second lines are really strong. Some people say they're stronger
than ever. Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, how does that make sense?
It does, because you have lots of new people move to the city. Mm-hmm. And people know the history of second line, and actually from the first line to the second line comes from funerals and all that stuff. But on Sundays, it's broadcast on websites, the radio, Jazz Fest, all these different functions. And it's always, somebody's always talking about second lines on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or what have you. So it's out there in the media, and people that never been to it comes out and enjoy it. Even when they have functions in the city, they may get caught up in the second line, and they really enjoy it. I remember one year I paraded, and they had these people from New York was down, and they took beautiful pictures, and that was their first time at a second line. Actually, I still talk to a few of them up until today, and they sent me so many photos that they took of us and enjoyed it. And every time I get ready to parade, make sure you let us know when you're parading so we can come on down. Mm-hmm. So, it's just by word of mouth with some people. You tell this person, that person, and it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And, like around Jazz Fest, like the French Quarter Fest, all this stuff that just happened this weekend, mm-hmm. they had a big crowd turnout. From my understanding, I didn't make it last weekend, but mm-hmm. I heard they had a big crowd. You had so many people in town, so they had a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
So, without stuff that's going on in the city, you have a big crowd regardless. Mm-hmm. Sunday is a day for lots of people to relax and enjoy, because they got a work week. Mm-hmm. And they just come out and just enjoy themselves. Yeah. Just the culture itself, it speaks volume.
And what's your opinion on second lines becoming more publicized, more mainstream? A lot of people who have never, didn't grow up in the culture attending them. Do you have a point of view on that?
I tell them, keep coming. Keep coming. Mm-hmm. Because if it's something you can enjoy, come enjoy it. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, come figure out and test it yourself to see if you like it or you don't like it. Some may go and some may not like it, but some gonna go and they're gonna continue to go. Because at one time when I first started going to second line, I was like, there's too many people for me. You gotta walk on fast, everybody walking all over you. I was like, I can't do that. But as I went more and more, it was like, okay, I got the hang of this here, and I enjoyed it. Out there at the second lines, you meet lots of people. You eat all different kind of foods. You come friends with people that you never know. You come in contact with people that you live on one side of town, they live on the other side, and you finally meet up on a Sunday, and then you make friends from here, here, and here, and on the Sunday, it's like one big party. Everybody comes together. Mm-hmm. And people look forward for just that day, because I want them. At one time, I wouldn't miss a second line for nothing in the world. Mm-hmm. I go to church. Some Sundays, I even go to church because I want to be a second line at 12 o'clock. I will miss church to be at a second line. Oh, yeah.
Well, some people say it is their church.
Huh?
Some people say it is their church.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Second line is just something. It's addiction. Mm-hmm. It's addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And so this question kind of follows up on that.
Uh-huh.
Why, and you've kind of already answered it, really, but if you have any other thoughts on this, why is second lining meaningful to you personally and to New Orleans as a whole?
So New Orleans as a whole is the culture of it. Mm-hmm. It goes back with the history of the jazz bands and the musicians. And people express themselves through music. Mm-hmm. Some people express themselves through dancing. I express myself personally through dancing and listening to music and enjoying the outdoor views on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sounds of the music.
You have mentioned earlier that, you know, that you had tried to offer a little class for the Pussyfooters and them before the parade.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's some basic things you could show them, but there's kind of no way to teach second line, right? Well, you just got to feel it.
Right.
I think you know because through Elsie, but one of the people that I've been interviewing and spending a lot of time with is Daryl uh-huh. Young. And I know people have a lot of different opinions on
uh-huh.
him, so I just wanted to ask kind of what's your point of view on kind of what he's doing and, you know, teaching and spreading the culture in the way that he is.
Well, it's just my personal opinion
mm-hmm.
of you really can't teach a person how to second line.
Mm-hmm.
But some people have within them that their dancing is a motto for them, their goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something they do on a daily basis and live just for that. So some people feel that they can teach it. But me personally, my opinion, mm-hmm. I don't think you can teach it.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody else may have a different opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I can teach it. And maybe you can because maybe you can do it better than me.
Mm-hmm.
So some people maybe they have their ways of saying, I can teach you. But me personally, I just say, I show you what I can do and show you how to dance and you just go from there. I don't really say I taught you.
Mm-hmm.
I showed you some steps and some moves. Now let's make it work how you make it work.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, some people figure that's their livelihood. You know, mm-hmm. they can teach it. Okay, you can teach the way you dance. You can teach a person the way you dance, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, whatever you teach a person how to dance, they're always going to put their own moves into it. So, you can and you can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to say you can't, but it's up to each individual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you wanted to include that I didn't ask about?
No, not really. I think we covered everything.
Okay. So, my last little portion here is this little video portion, and it's just kind of a random collection of different second lines that I've shot while I've been at them. And I haven't
uh-huh.
updated it in a while. I've taken a lot more since I put this together.
Okay.
But I'll just play it a little bit and then pause it and just ask me to just tell me what you see.
Okay.
Anything. It's like, that's right. He's doing that drop spin thing I told you about. Or, that guy definitely has downtown footwork. Or
right,
whatever
right,
it
right.
is you see.
Okay. A little drop spin.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else in that little clip?
In other words, they're rolling.
They're rolling. And this clip, I think you saw this because I showed this at the conference at Dillard.
Footwork. That's what you would call it. Footwork. Mm-hmm. Let me see the footwork. Street, sidewalk, they be all on the stop sign, bus stops, buildings, and everything.
Okay, so this guy who's doing all the footwork and the Starbucks,
he has some good footwork.
Yeah, he does, right? Is there anything you see that makes you think that? Anything you could point to, like, oh, because he's like this.
His feet constantly moving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to the beat, and he's on beat with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure he picked one of those instruments to dance to.
Mm. Can you tell which one?
You actually probably could.
Okay, let's keep watching.
The cowbell.
Uh-huh. Nobody ever says the cowbell, and that's my favorite.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now this woman in the pink socks, looking back to her in a sec, but she's pretty incredible.
Trumpet.
Uh-huh.
And that's Rolling Joe.
Uh-huh.
Nah, he's hilarious. Oh, talk about when he parades, he's a member of a close social and pleasure club now.
He's with the Uptown Swingers, I think.
Uptown Swingers. Mm-hmm. He really cuts up in that wheelchair. Yeah, oh, yes.
Does. Yeah, he does. I remember Deborah Cotton had on her blog once a video of him, and she had the caption on it said, "Now, don't tell me just because this guy's in a wheelchair, he don't have footwork."
Right. Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Scully. I actually did an interview with him not too long ago. And he's actually starting his own club of all people in wheelchairs called Push for Change.
Oh, well, all right now. Yeah, that's great.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's amazing. And he used to do a lot of breakdancing in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
He was on, like, a competitive breakdance team.
Yeah.
Which I think it shows. Like, he does. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, and so then this guy in the red shirt, he's always out there, always dancing. But he looks real different. He looks very unique. Okay. Anything to say about the guy in the red?
Nah. Flying with it.
Oh, because it was always...
Well, yeah. Flying with it.
Okay.
Oh, look. See him right there? He not here? That's when they were saying, way downtown, way downtown.
When he's like bending down.
See, that's how he all on the church step.
Uh-huh. Up on the billboard.
Yeah. It sound like he going right to that little, what you call him?
the tambourine.
Tambourine.
Mm-hmm.
See, they makes good money selling stuff
the coolers.
At the second line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beer, water, juice, whatever.
And since you sell stuff, I always wondered, I mean, does anybody ever give you trouble about having to have a permit to sell or anything like that?
Well, actually, you go to City Hall, we have IDs that we take now.
Oh, okay.
And you have to pay $25 to be a vendor, but you have to be a social and pleasure club. And you have IDs now as a second line vendor.
No way.
Wait, when did that start?
They've enforced it. We had meetings about it last year sometime, but just about 3 weeks ago, they started letting us take IDs to actually have your badge to actually sell it. But I think it was some people already had them, but I think they're really enforcing it now.
I see. Because, yeah, I saw, like, Herman and Bebe, the guys with
Bebe, they got their, they had the ID. They just started it. And he, Bebe had his about 3 weeks ago, and he told me I needed to go get mine because I think it stopped you. You can get a fine for it without having it.
Do you know how much the fine is?
I don't know.
I wonder. But you have to be a Social Aid and Pleasure Club to sell?
Yep.
Interesting.
You have to be a Social and Pleasure Club.
Because I know not everybody out there is, but maybe they just become a member so they can keep selling or something?
They got to show. They got. I'm not sure how that goes. I don't want to state that because I don't know.
No, I don't know either. But I,
but I know Ben Bainham told me that we have to go, that we sell stuff out there. Yeah. We have to go actually get the ID.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've always wondered about that. So this guy, this is a guy who moved to the city, I think in the 90s, but he's a white guy in the Big 7, Leo.
Oh, Leo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's my neighbor, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, he gets on top of stuff. He's somebody.
He'd be out there with the baby in a little carriage.
I know. Falling under people's legs and everything.
Right.
Okay. So here's some more of what I like to call, you know, white people footwork right here. They're trying, but they're maybe not quite hitting it.
Oh, they on beat. I will ask them to adjourn.
Yeah. All right. They can continue.
I will ask them to adjourn.
This guy, I love this guy. His name is Scotty. He's from Houston.
Well, all right now, Scotty. He said, come on, look. Amen.
Yeah, this guy.
Gonna get some. That's little shorty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now she be rolling too.
Yeah. Okay. Anything you see her doing that stands out?
She got some excellent footwork. She has some moves. And she's an older person,
mm-hmm.
and she have good spirit when she dances. She's a different person when she's second line also.
Mm.
Totally.
Mm.
She's a second liner when she's parading and when she's not parading.
Mm-hmm.
She in outside the ropes and she goes.
Their parade was right before Christmas this year, on this day.
Okay.
And it rained the whole 4 hours.
And I did not go out there that day. I just could not do the rain.
Oh, my goodness. And like, they stuck it out the whole time. And she led the charge.
Yeah.
Like, nobody would let down and give up because she would not let them.
Uh-huh.
And here's the Lady Rollers.
Uh-huh. That's Lydia.
Mm. Copy took her.
Oh, that's one of the other groups, like the Pussyfooters or somebody that came out with them, huh?
That Poppy Tooker, I think she was like an honorary guest or something.
Oh, okay.
She was like, okay. Not a queen, but you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all.
That was great.
Thanks. Anything else before I turn it off?
That'll be it.
Okay.